Good evening, all. How's everybody doing? I just have to say, I'm always blessed when the Ray brothers, Dan and Dave, are a part of our worship. They had an opportunity to minister to the inmates of Downstate, and the inmates were so blessed by their presence on Friday night of last weekend. And so, how many of you actually really used the time that we just spent to come closer to our King? Well, okay, you don't have to vote in church here necessarily. There are some times when I come and I'm really not really ready to be in the presence of God, but I stand there and I have to almost force myself because He requires a response. And the response is that we simply love Him back because He first loved us. And so tonight, I'm going to be asking the question, who is our King? And as soon as... it's up. Who is our King? Psalm 24 asks the question. It says, who is the King of glory? The Lord that is strong and mighty. Who is the King of glory? The Lord Almighty. Heavenly Father, I would ask, Lord, that tonight we'd get a new revelation of You as King, and that we'd be able to come to You as King and Lord of our life with a greater understanding. In Jesus' name, amen. How many of you have kind of like a strange concept of monarchy or kings and queens? I don't know about you, but my concept of a monarchy is definitely different than what Jesus was talking about when He was here on earth. The monarchies that we see on earth are something of an anachronism. That's like an event that seems out of place in time. Monarchies in David's time, when David was king, that was a true monarchy. The king ruled over the land. The king had authority. The king's presence really was a special event. If you could go into the king's throne room, that was a real special event. It's become kind of a figure, and just as I said here, figureheads without power. Something is lost in the translation in the word kingdom. Our concept of kingdom has been formed by what we see in the tabloids, hasn't it now? We get a picture of gold chariots with special people riding in past. We also get of people and how, as you will see in the next slide, the royals in crisis. We see them as being mere humans. The monarchies of the earth today, and I'm not disparaging them, I'm just simply saying when we ask who is king or who is king of our lives, sometimes our view of monarchies and kings and queens is a bit distorted. The king and queen, Prince Charles, has two sons, and probably one of these young men are going to aspire to be king. And again, I want to just use this as an example of that our paradigm or our thought process is kind of distorted as to what really, truly a king really is. We also have a lot of characters. There's kings we can go on to the next slide, in cartoons. That's a royal flush, by the way. We can go on to the next one. There's different kingdoms that we even seen on the TV. The Kingdom of Oz, okay, is a kingdom. the kingdom that our Lord has established is not a kingdom that's here on this earth. And so, our concept of Jesus as king is sometimes distorted by the pictures that we see of kings themselves and of monarchies. Jesus became king. Now, when you become a king, you go through a process called coronation. Does anybody know what a coronation is? I'm going to go into the role of teacher here for a little bit, and then I'll kick into preaching. A coronation is an anointing when the king is actually anointed for the task and the role of being king. Was Jesus coronated, or did he go through a coronation? Well, I'll suggest, or even I believe that Jesus was. Jesus came in riding on a donkey instead of a colt. What kind of king is this? Now we have a different picture of a king. We have a picture of Jesus riding into town, and everyone is hailing him as king. Why were they hailing him as king? Because the Jews were looking for an earthly king to come to save them from the world that was against them. And they were looking for an earthly king. If we can go to the next slide. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Selah. Please go on to the next one. He was coronated when he was beaten. He was coronated when he had a crown of thorns put on his head. He was coronated when he had a robe put on him. He was coronated when he took a reed as his scepter. What kind of king is this that lays down his life for his subjects? That's the picture of Jesus that we sometimes get as king. But I'm a GED teacher at the Ulster County Jail this summer. And I'm going to ask, that is what he did for us. That tense is what tense? What he did for us. Anybody? It's past tense. He has since gone on to glory. And he is now seated at the right hand of the Father. That was a horrible spectacle that we saw in the pictures there. He took on sin so that we would not find death in that sin. He took on our sin and took our place in punishment that we would be free from our sin. What kind of king would lay their life down for their kingdom? Only the king that we serve, named Jesus. Our king doesn't ask us for a response that's forced by fear. Kings, when they had the power and authority, if they said your head would roll, what would happen? Your head would roll. If the king said, take those gold coins from him, they would come and take your money. We serve a very benevolent king. We serve a king by the name of Jesus. In John 18:36, Jesus said these words, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight so that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from here. An embassy is a place where the ambassadors of that country reside. If I go over to another country and I go into the embassy of the United States, I would then be as if I was walking into the United States. That piece of property is the property of the United States, even though it be a property of, it'll be residing in a different country. And so, when you walk into that embassy, you have all the rights and privileges of a citizen of that country, if you are a citizen of that country. In other words, if I go to France and I walk into the U.S. embassy, I then walk into a place where I have all the rights and privileges of a U.S. citizen. When I walk out of that embassy and into the rest of France, I no longer have those privileges. When we become Christians and when we make our lives, when we give our lives over to the Lord, we walk and step into the privileges and rights of the kingdom of God. In Matthew 12:28, it says, "But if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, surely the kingdom of God has come upon you. And heal the sick there, and to say unto them, the kingdom of God has come." He has given us the authority and privileges as if we've walked into the embassy of the kingdom of God. We have the privileges and rights of being a citizen of his kingdom. Since he is king, we are now citizens of his kingdom. The kingdom, by the way, of God was mentioned by Jesus a lot and many times in scriptures. And at one place, he said, "The kingdom of God is within you." I personally feel that as I go about and I go into the school system, how many people realize that I need prayer as a school teacher? I teach 7th and 8th grade. Okay. I need to... Now, don't get me wrong. I love to teach. But trust me. I, now that I have made a relationship with Jesus Christ, I am a much better teacher because I am walking in the authority that he has given me in my classroom. I have seen lives change in my classroom because of the love that I bring to them. You see, the kingdom of God is within me. And where I go, what goes with me? The kingdom of God. Do you understand that the kingdom of God is upon us, as Jesus said in Matthew 12:28. In Luke 10:9, "And heal the sick there, and say unto them, the kingdom of God has come upon you." You see, the kingdom of God is already here, but not in its fullness. You have to understand that it's a progressive thing, that when Jesus came here to this earth, the power of God came to this earth to allow us to be used for his glory. You see, the kingdom of God is advancing, and he has asked us for a response. The response is, go into all the world and preach good news, or preach the gospel. Now, I'd prefer to say share good news, because the word preach means to share, and gospel means good news. And so I prefer to just share good news to others. But you see, there's one thing to be able to share it, and then there's another thing to bring the presence of God with you and actually see and experience his presence in your life. Whenever I go into different situations, when Diane and I go, we pray, "Holy Spirit, have your way in this place." The Lord's prayer is, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And we pray, "Lord, allow your presence to be a part of our meeting when we walk into that prison, so that they will experience your love as we go there." That's all part of the kingdom privileges. But the Lord is looking for a response. It says in Hebrews 4:16, "Therefore, come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace in a time of need." When the proverbial junk hits the fan, we find ourselves on our knees to the Lord. But I'm going to ask a question here, and that is, is our response a 24/7 response to our Lord? In other words, it says in Scripture, pray unceasingly. Is your life one that is a constant walking in kingdom principles, walking in love for Christ, believing that every place you go, the peace of God goes with you? How many of you ever, or how many of you know the armor, the spiritual armor listed in Ephesians? When you get to the spiritual armor, what's on your feet? Preparation of the gospel of peace. Okay, so you got peace on your feet. So when you go with that supernatural peace, now that's a privilege of the kingdom, when you go with that peace, what goes with you? Peace. Because peace is on my feet. And I believe that and declare it in Jesus' name. That as I go from here to my classroom, and I'm teaching GED in the Ulster County Jail this summer, and it's been a real struggle for me, but I've seen God move in at least two situations where peace has gone in there with me, and I've been able to help those who are in need. You see, God is asking us for a response, not a half-hearted one, but a full response. In Revelations, it says, I want you to be either for me or against me, but I'd rather that you not be what? Lukewarm. It seems like you know what the scriptures are, but are you really actually walking in it? I'm challenging you tonight. I'm challenging everybody to understand that we are citizens of the kingdom and we serve a king by the name of Jesus. Now, this king allows us to come into his throne room anytime, any day. What king in history would allow his citizens to be able to have access to him at any time, any day? That's a privilege that's phenomenal to me. And he says to not only come into his presence, but he says to come in how? With boldness and with confidence. I come in to the throne room to receive grace and mercy, not only for myself, but for others, because that is all part of the kingdom principle. When you serve a king like Jesus, you want to do anything that you can for him. I got a question for you. Why do you go and do works for the Lord? Is it, can I ask, that you want to get points to get into heaven? No. I mean, the story of this fellow that had passed away. This fellow passed away, and he gets to the gates of the kingdom, of heaven, rather. And he gets to the gate, and there's St. Peter. Now, this is not a real story, but he gets to the pearly gates, and he sees St. Peter there, and Peter is not letting him in. And Peter says, what have you done in your life to deserve coming into heaven? And the man was thinking, he's going, oh my goodness, what have I done? Well, I went to church for 45 years. And Peter goes, 2 points. You need 100 points to get into heaven. This guy is beside himself. He says, well, I taught Sunday school. And Peter goes, 1 point. That was good, but this guy is now really, he isn't. He goes, I didn't beat my wife. And Peter goes, I don't know about that one, but I'll give you 0.5. Now the man doesn't know what he's going to say. Just in frustration, he bursts out, it's only by the grace of God that I'll get in. And Peter said, come on in. And you see, in this kingdom that we serve a God, we serve one that loves him, but it's only by the grace of God that we'll get in to heaven. But you see, our Lord is asking us to respond to his love. You see, I don't go and preach good news to the inmates at the correctional facilities I go because I'm earning points to get into heaven. I do it because I love the king. Can you see the concept? He's looking for a response. He's looking for a response that says, wow, you took the bullet for me, so now I'm going to do anything for you. If somebody dies for you, jumps out in front of a car and pushes you out of the way but gets hit by that car, wouldn't you do everything you could for that family of the person that died for you? Or if the person lived but was incapacitated for 6 months, wouldn't you be there doing everything that you possibly could for that person? I know that's the way my relationship is with Jesus. He's looking for a response, not so that you can get points to go to heaven, but because he simply loves you. And he's looking for a response. What is your response? When was the last time that you went into the throne room with confidence and boldness, knowing that he is asking you to come in? Because he truly wants to respond to your needs. We sang some songs tonight, and there was one by Hillsong. Love. What was the chorus of that? There's nothing like your love. The response that the king is looking for, this benevolent king is looking for, that we call Jesus. Nothing like your love. We were singing that song, nothing like your love. Can I ask, did you really sing it as if you were love struck with the person that you were singing it to, or were you singing a song? Now, I'm asking these questions only because this is a vital portion of what should be our lives. When we come into the presence of God, are we simply just singing songs, or are we simply, or are we really truly coming before the King and singing a song of love to him? There are some songs. I have a list of some songs. Sometimes we sing I Surrender All by singing I Surrender Some. The King is asking you to surrender your life to him. And when we sing the song I Surrender All, are we really singing I Surrender Some? Fill my spoon, Lord. No, it's fill my cup, Lord. But sometimes we go only with a spoon. Give, and it shall be given unto you. This is a kingdom principle. Give, and it shall be given unto you, pressed down, shaken together. With the same measure that you give, it shall be meted back unto you. How many of you remember when Vaughn brought in that big shovel? And he brought in a spoon. And it's like, that was so cool. It was a good visual. A kingdom principle that doesn't make sense to the world is that if we live to give, God is just going to pour it out back unto us. And with the same measure that you use. So that when we sing the song, don't sing it half-heartedly, fill my spoon, fill my cup, Lord. Oh, how I like Jesus. You know what? I've been to churches that we sung that song. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, stop. Sing it like you mean it. Oh, and this is like my favorite. A comfy mattress is our God. That song is a mighty fortress is our God. Our God is a mighty fortress. And into it we can run and be safe. Our God loves us. He chooses. He poured out his life completely for us as king. And all he asks is that we respond to his love. I've experienced the kingdom in my life because of the love that Jesus has for me. I can't begin to tell you all the different just ways that God has touched Diane and my life. It's been wonderful. We've been married for many years. Wonderful years. 32 years. How many know that a kingdom principle is that you need to pray for your marriage? Because, you know, it's something that God chooses to want to bless. But if you don't ask, you won't what? Receive. You receive not because you ask not. And also from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And I've understood kingdom principles to be this, is that when we take a response out of faith, God will meet us in that place of faith and we'll see his presence in our midst. The anxiety that occurs in parents when their children get into severe car accidents, like what happened to my sister. My dad and my mom went through a horrendous time, but God physically healed my sister of a broken neck. My sister was in a head-on collision, and it looked really, really bad. She was busted up from head to toe, but the only real serious injury was that broken neck. Many of you have heard the story. But God's presence came over that situation. I don't know about you, but I've been in really, really tough situations in my lifetime. And I've asked the Lord simply for his peace. And I've received his peace as if it was poured out like a warm oil all over me. And it was just, all of a sudden, I knew God's presence was there. That's where the kingdom meets earth, is when his presence comes and something supernatural happens. If I would probably be preaching from now until the end of August to tell you of all the miracles. But the one thing I've learned is that I have to keep my relationship up with Christ. Okay, a kingdom principle is this. You're nourished by the Word of God. You can take the Bible and you can read it and you can put it into here, but until you start acting on it and believing it and actually walking in it, does it become a part of your life, and it will be like nourishment to you. I have found that the Word of God is powerful, living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. When my son put a Christmas tree ball in his mouth when he was 13 months old, let me rephrase that. When he took a Christmas tree ball and he crawled over, he was 13 months old, and he picked it off the floor because it had fallen off the tree, this Christmas tree ball, and he put it into his mouth and it exploded. And he was bleeding and he was choking from this Christmas tree ball. That was a frightening experience. I asked God for his peace, and his peace came over me. And you see, I've learned that when I start putting that word in my heart, a kingdom principle is this, that God wants to manifest himself in his presence in your midst when you speak it out of abundance of your heart. And so I had been in the word for a long time, for a week, almost solidly, I was in the word of God. And when I spoke to that situation, what came out of my mouth is not what came out of my head, but it came out of my heart from the abundance that I was filling it with. And I spoke to the glass to be gone in Jesus' name, and my son stopped choking, and my son stopped bleeding. I had blood on the rug, but all of a sudden, the situation just changed. It was like Jesus speaking to the wind, "Be still." And what happened to the wind? And my son Joshua, 13 months old, if I had picked him up and said, "He's going to die, he's going to die, he's going to die," I think he might have died. But instead, the Lord, who had placed within my heart as I was reading it, it just came out of my mouth, and the bleeding and choking stopped. That won't happen until you actually get close to the Lord. Now, I go into the Bible to prepare sermons, but I have to go in for myself. I've had conversations with Vaughn that, you know, I think most preachers struggle with that. If you're preaching a lot like I am and like he is, then for some reason, it just, you're always opening the word and you're finding words for somebody else instead of for yourself. And what I need to do is constantly be just spending time with him. That's another kingdom principle. He's looking for a response, and the response is, are you just coming to me to receive your sustenance from the word? Are you coming to me and you praying, and are you worshiping me in spirit and in truth? And when you do, you'll see my presence in your midst. I keep going back to a story of Zacchaeus. Now, a few of you have heard me. I know I'm looking at Julie. You remember when I did Zacchaeus. And this was in a church in Sardis, and I actually got behind a tree like this. Now, Zacchaeus, the story of Zacchaeus is a man who was a tax collector, and he was a hated man. I mean, the tax collector in those days had two pockets. One for the IRS and two for me. One for the IRS and two for me. So when the tax man came around, you know he was ripping you off, and there was nothing you could do about it. And he was a very hated man. And it says in Scripture that he was a short man. I like that. And in order to be able to see Jesus, who was coming down the road, he climbed a sycamore fig tree. So here is Zacchaeus. He climbs up into this tree. And he's watching and looking for Jesus. And he sees Jesus coming down the road. Now Jesus, as he's coming down the road, sees Zacchaeus in the tree. And he comes over to that tree and he looks up and he goes, Zacchaeus, come down out of this tree. Now, Jesus knows your name. He loves you and he cares for you. And he calls you by name. And he says, come down out of that tree. Stop looking at me from a distance and start fellowshipping with me. Because Jesus said, come down out of that tree immediately. Make haste, Jesus said. For I want to abide in your house today. I want to come and spend time with you. You see, there's sometimes when we feel like we're not worthy to have the king come into our house or into our presence, because there is stuff like the laundry is all over. We have a cat that likes to take our dirty laundry and drag it down the stairs from our bedroom and plop it in the middle of the living room floor. And one day when one of my sons, who is a police officer, had some police officer friends come over to the house, there was our underwear in the middle of the living room floor. Some of you may feel like Zacchaeus, that you're just not worthy sometimes for Jesus to be spending some time with you in your life. But don't feel that way, because he has taken your sins and has thrown them as far as the east is from the west. And he wants to spend time with you just as you are. And he wants you to come and spend time. And when he said to Zacchaeus, he said, come down now, don't wait. How many of us, when we hear God calling us, wait? Okay, you can admit to that, because I know I've done it. You wait, I'm telling you. Jesus is calling us right now as king of the kingdom of God. And he's saying, I want to spend some time with you. I want to spend some time in your house. And he's looking for a response. What is your response today? What is your response to the king? Are you going to worship him in spirit and in truth? Or are you going to sit there and sing in some songs? Are you going to come out of that tree looking at Jesus from a distance? Because how many of you have spent time? I mean, there are times in my life when things get so hectic that my relationship with Christ gets put on hold. And that's when I find that all of a sudden the peace that I need just isn't there. And all of a sudden, because when I came a Christian, all my problems ended, right? Is that true? No. Problems are there, but it's sure nice to have the King by your side as you're going through life, which throws problems at you. You see, this is all kingdom principles. Are you spending time with the King? Do you truly love the King that you have chosen to give your life over to Him completely and make Him Lord of your life? You see, tonight I'm going to ask you, everyone here, the King is calling. He wants your life. He wants to become Lord over your life. In medieval times, if the Lord said to do something, you did what? You did it. But we have a loving God. And that loving God is calling you today to take your relationship to a new level that it's never been before. Are you up to the task? Are you going to be like Zacchaeus, who came down out of that tree immediately and spent some time with Jesus? Because that's the kingdom of God. That is where it's at. The kingdom of God is within us. Are you going to respond to the King this very night? We're going to have a time of prayer afterwards where we can pray for individual needs. But I'd like to pray right now where you can all join in with me. And I'd just like to pray a prayer of just faith to our King, restating that we know that He is Lord and that we choose to serve Him for the remainder of our days. Can you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your love. We thank You that You died for us. And we thank You that Your love just covers and washes away our sin. We choose this very night to recommit our lives to You and trust You completely. Thank You, Lord, for Your love and Your kindness toward us. Amen.